Amen. Amen. Well, as Pastor Don said, and I'm sure just about everybody here should know, that Easter Sunday, Easter, the day we call Easter, and the day that we celebrate, the day of the resurrection, is the most important day in all of Christianity. And the reason, thank you, Angel. The reason it is so important is because the very existence of our Christian faith rests on that one important fact that Jesus Christ did not remain in the grave. But on the third day, as it tells us in the Word, He was resurrected. He was brought back to life, and in fact, He is still alive to this very day, right here and right now, and will be for all eternity. Paul explains to us in the book of Romans in chapter 1, verse 4, that Jesus, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead. The resurrection was the absolute final proof that everything that Jesus said was true, that He was who He said He was. There's a great book that I have, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, that says that Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. Someone who claimed that He was going to die and come back to life obviously is either lying, he's nuts, or it's real, and he's Lord. And we know the fact is that Jesus did come back. Hundreds of people saw Him after He came back. Hundreds. Over 500 people saw Him. All the world will try to tell you that Jesus was just a great man or a prophet, as we just heard that Islam would try to say. But the resurrection proves that Jesus was right, that there is life beyond the grave. Muhammad didn't come back. Confucius didn't come back. No other religious leader or figure ever came back from the dead. Elvis didn't come back. Nobody came back except Jesus. The resurrection is the yes and amen of all of God's promises. And the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead and into eternal life is available to each one of us when we choose to unite ourselves with Christ, when we find ourselves in Christ, first in death and then in the newness of life. Romans 6, 3 and 4 says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now, I'm sure we all love the idea that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. It's a wonderful thing, and that's what, you know, Easter is all about. And the fact that not only that He came back, but that we can share in that same resurrection. We can take that resurrection power into our lives. And it's certainly true for all of us who belong to Christ. We have that resurrection power. It's there for us. But it's also true that there can be no resurrection without there first being a death. And before Jesus could walk out of the tomb, He first had to walk to the cross. Before He was glorified, He had to be crucified. And before we ourselves can walk in this new life, in this new resurrection power, in this victory that God has for us, we have to take a step of faith and meet Jesus at the cross. We need to understand the amazing thing that happened, the wonder and the beauty and the significance of the cross of Christ. You know, we have the cross right up there. It's something amazing that happened on that day. Matthew 16, 24, Jesus said, if anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. In Luke 14:27, Jesus said, "And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Pretty straightforward. So welcome to the club of the cross. If we want to be a follower of Christ, we need to follow him to that cross. Oftentimes we as Christians, we think that, well, we've gone beyond the cross. I mean, Jesus did that already. It's over and done with, or at least it was done when we got saved. We don't have to worry about the cross anymore. And yet, we just read those scriptures that we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him, that we need to carry our cross. And if we don't do it, we're not his disciple. Luke 9:23 tells us that whoever wants to follow Jesus must take up his cross daily. Daily. So does that mean that every day of our life is going to be a day of pain and suffering and drudgery, that we're going to have to be crucified every day? Well, not really. It's not like that. The life of a Christian should be the greatest possible life that can be lived on this earth. The life of a Christian should be filled with joy and peace. There should be adventure in our lives. There should be a certainty of purpose and a knowledge of where we're going when it's all over. There is no better life. Absolutely. People wander the earth searching for some kind of meaning, some kind of hope, scared, fearful about what's going to happen after they die. No purpose, no hope, no peace, no love, no joy. We got it with Christ. Christ died to set the captives free, to set us free. And that's why he went to the cross, to set us free from the bondage, from the guilt, and the penalty of sin. He paid the price for our freedom at the cross. And now we can go there, and we can dump off those things that are constantly trying to bring us into bondage. Drop off those things that maybe have still kept us a prisoner, still kept us enslaved to some degree. See, Jesus wants us to be free of all that. So what I want to do today is take a look at the cross and see what kind of place is it? What happens at the cross? Why should we go to the cross? So the very first thing we need to see is that the cross is a place of love. The cross revealed the true love of Jesus Christ. It revealed his heart towards us. Jesus dedicated his life to showing the love of God to the world. And when he went to the cross, he proved beyond a shadow of a doubt how much God loved us, how much he loved us. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends." And that's what Jesus did. Sometimes we're so afraid to go to God because we've sinned and we feel guilty and we're afraid he's going to be mad at us. He's going to punish us and we're going to get hurt. And so we go hide, just like Adam and Eve. You know, they went and hid after they sinned. But we need to stop and think of all that Jesus endured on the cross and remember the reason he went to the cross was for those very sins. That's why he went there, because he knew ahead of time, he knows that we are sinners, that we have sinned, and that we will, unfortunately, fall in sin again. Those thorns that were put on his head, they were for you. The beatings that he took, they were for you and me. The nails that were put into his hands and feet, they were for us. He died for us to show us how much he loves us. That's why he went to the cross. So how do we show our love for Christ? 1 John 14:23, Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll obey my teaching." Well, what did Jesus teach us? Those scriptures I just read teach us that we need to pick up our cross daily and follow Him and be His disciple. That's how we prove our love for Christ, by going to that cross daily, by denying ourselves, our fleshly desires, our carnal nature. That's what it means when we say go to the cross. So we follow Christ there. We obey Him. We deny these urges, these fleshly urges, these carnal urges. We take Him to the cross and we lay Him at the foot of the cross. The cross is also a place of remembrance. Every time I see a beautiful sunset, you know, like if I see it, especially when I see it through the trees and if there's water there, you know, it always reminds me of where our family vacations over on Lake Michigan. We go to this place called Hoffmaster State Park. We love it there. We've gone there many, many years. And it brings a lot of, you know, really good memories back of our time together as a family. And, you know, there's a certain spot there. Actually, there's a few spots we go in. But one in particular, you walk through the woods and you come out and then you see the Lake Michigan there. And sometimes we go there and watch the sunsets. Or even when you just go in there in the day, you're in this sort of darkish kind of woods. And then all of a sudden it just opens up and there's this beautiful area. And so, you know, and it just brings back memories. And so when I see something that reminds me of that, it reminds me of, oh man, I can't wait until we can get out to the lake again. Can't wait till we can get out and, you know, be out at Lake Michigan. Well, every time we see a cross, that should bring a remembrance to us too. We should be reminded that it was Christ who died for us on the cross on that day, that He paid the penalty for our sins so that we wouldn't have to. And when we are reminded of that our salvation was His work, it leaves no room for us to boast. Our salvation was a gift. It's not something we did because we are so great. It's not because we're so wonderful. It's not because we've crossed over some line and now we're better. It's because of the gift that we received. Somebody gives you a gift, does that make you a better person? It just makes you the receiver of a gift. And we are the receiver of the gift, the greatest gift that has ever been given. And only when by Jesus going to the cross could we be set free and delivered from sin. Galatians 6:14 says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." That's why we have communion. That's why we had it today. That's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We do it to remember that Jesus sacrificed His body and His blood for us. That our salvation is totally dependent upon the work that He did, the job that He did, the sacrifice that He made on that cross. That's why we need to examine ourselves before we take communion and repent of our sins by bringing them to the foot of the cross. Repentance comes before forgiveness, just like the cross comes before the resurrection. The cross is a place of separation. The cross separated Jesus from His family, from His friends, from His disciples. Only a few brave souls followed Him to the cross, to His death. This was basically something that He had to do alone. Jesus was even separated from His Father because He took on the sins of the world, and His Father, God, has no relationship with sin. He couldn't be with His Son at that time. Jesus was separated from this life, this humanity that He had put on so that He could come here and be a human so that He would be able to reach out and rescue us. Matthew 16:24-25, Jesus said, "If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for Me will find it." What Jesus is talking about there is denying or separating ourselves from our sinful nature. We need to put that sinful nature to death. Galatians 5:24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature. They've taken that sinful nature and put it up on the cross. Brought it to the cross. And said, God, I don't want this anymore. We go there and we give it to God. We say, God, I need your help. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who's going to help us to live for Christ. Give me the power to overcome the sin. Here it is. I don't want this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. Take it to the cross. We need to deny this sin nature. We don't need to accept it. We need to deny ourselves and go to the cross, pick up our cross daily. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Galatians 6:8. That's why Jesus wants us to nail our sinful nature to that cross. Because he knows that this nature inside of us, this fleshly nature, will lead to destruction. Those who sow to please the sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. God knows. Jesus knows what's in us. He understands what we're dealing with. He understands the sinful nature of humanity. He was tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet was without sin. Unfortunately, none of us can claim that we're without sin. So we have this sinful nature. We bring it to the cross. Jesus also knows the glory that will be ours when we sow to please the Spirit instead. When we live by the Spirit. When we follow the Spirit of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons or the daughters of God. That's how we please God. The cross is also a place of loneliness. Think of how alone Jesus felt when all his followers, except just a couple, deserted him. Even Peter, who said, I'll never leave you, he deserted him and even denied him. And even more so because he was separated from his Father, the one that he was constantly in communion with. He was always, one with the Father. I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Everything I say because the Father told me. Everything I do because the Father told me to do it. And now all of a sudden he's cut off from his lifeblood, his lifeline, his Father. He was alone. Sometimes we may feel alone when we walk away from sin and those who call out to us to join them. Sometimes those that we thought were our friends leave us behind. Or sometimes because of what they're doing, we have to leave them behind. And we can experience loneliness. So we take it to the cross. We go to Christ. We give him that loneliness, and there we meet up with God, who fills our heart with his love. And this aching, this hunger, this longing for relationship that we thought we needed so desperately in those who would maybe lead us to our death, instead we find that relationship that we've been searching and striving for in Christ. And we can find it when we go to the cross. That's where we can meet God and bring him all that we want to get rid of. The cross is a place of humility. Candace said that when she was up here just a moment ago, that she told us about the scripture where it says that Christ humbled himself and he became a servant, even unto death when he went to the cross. Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, who was without sin, he allowed himself to be numbered among the transgressors. He allowed himself to be beaten. He allowed himself to be mocked and spat upon and ridiculed and tortured and hung naked in front of his mother, his followers, his enemies. That's humility. And this was God. This was our God. The God who created the heavens and the earth. The God who could just as easily wipe out this earth, but instead he chose to become man, come here, and allow himself to go through that and to be hung naked on a cross. He became a servant. The greatest, most powerful, purest life ever to live on this earth let himself be humiliated and killed in the most shameful method of the time. You know, Roman citizens weren't allowed to be executed or killed by being hung on the cross because it was considered too disgraceful for them. And yet, according to Hebrews 12:2, Jesus, the King of Kings, endured the cross and its shame for the joy that was set before him. What was that joy that was set before him? It was us. It was us. It was our redemption, our salvation, our eternity with him. When he was going to that cross and he looked out, he could see that what he was doing was going to save literally millions upon millions of people. And so because of that, because he knew that, he was able to go through that torturous, humiliating, lonely experience of going to the cross. That's what Jesus lived for. That's why he came here, and that's what he died for. Now Jesus is calling us to let our pride be broken so that we can lay it at the foot of the cross. So that we can lay everything there that we have trusted in. Whether it's our pride or our money, our position, our intelligence, our knowledge, anything at all that gets in the way of our relationship with our Lord. God says, humble yourself. Trust in me. God gives grace to the humble. And so he says, take those things, all those things that we trust in, and bring them to the cross. The cross is a place of submission. A place where we say, like Jesus said, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Believe me, Jesus didn't feel like going to that cross. He was not looking forward to that. And yet he submitted his will and obeyed his Father. And there'll be plenty of times when God will call us to do things that we won't want to do. Little things that we just know are, God wouldn't want me to do this. So what do? To the cross. The cross is a place of sacrifice. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice when he laid down his life for his friends, for us. Many martyrs have laid down their lives for Christ, even today. Men and women in different parts of the world are laying down their lives for Jesus every day. Will we have to do that? I hope not. I hope not in this country, although you never know, it could come to that. But there are many other areas where we are still going to have to make that sacrifice. Maybe not give up our life, but it may be giving up other things, things that we don't want to give up. things that we don't want to do. So we make the sacrifice. We take it to the cross. We pick up our cross. And we follow him daily. Of course, the cross means death. We know that Jesus died on the cross. Matthew 20:28 tells us that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Calvary was to Jesus not an interruption in his life. It was the culmination, the crowning achievement of his life. This is why he came. He came to go to the cross. He came to die for us so that he could be resurrected. The cross was prophesied hundreds of years earlier. The cross was planned from the beginning of time. The cross was not a mistake. God didn't blow it. It was there for us. And it's still there for us. A Jesus who came to be just a teacher or a prophet or a king and who was killed, murdered on the cross would have been a disaster. It would have ended everything that was supposed to happen. It would have stopped it cold. But a Jesus who came into the world to save us by giving up his life, by being crucified on the cross, instead became the greatest servant of all time, the most loving friend, the best friend of all time that anyone could ever have. And so here's the neat thing. The power of sin, the bondage of sin, the penalty of sin were all destroyed that day on the cross by the sacrifice of Jesus. And now it is our job to put our faith in Christ, to believe in him, to know that he has overcome the power of sin, and agree with the Apostle Paul, who said in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." What Paul is saying is that he's denied his self, this outer shell, this flesh. He's denied that, and he's gone to the cross. So often as Christians, we play games with God, and we never deal with head on with the sins that he's calling us to deal with. We keep making excuses, trying to get our own way and, you know, hiding out, letting our pride getting in the way and thinking, well, everything will just pass by. When God is telling us to bring that thing to the cross, to nail it down there so it stays there, be done with it. Jesus died to set us free from this bondage of sin and death. And he wants us to take advantage of this amazing life, this wonderful offer. Way better than Publisher's Clearinghouse or anything like that. And this brings us to the last and the best part of the cross. The cross means victory. All the forces of darkness, all the evil in the world, and even the evil from hell, had gathered together for what was to be their greatest achievement. What they thought would be their great moment. They would kill the Son of God. They would doom all humanity to hell, and they would destroy the Savior of the world. And little did Satan and all his demons know that they were in the process of helping to fulfill God's plan of salvation. Once again, they were God's pawns. Used by God. Satan thought that by crucifying Jesus on the cross, he would prevent him from being the Savior. But in fact, he actually made him the Savior of the world by crucifying him on the cross. Colossians 2:15 says that Jesus made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. All those demonic beings, Jesus made a public spectacle over them, triumphing over them by the cross. And a little side note here, when somebody thinks that the devil knows your future, obviously we know that he does not know the future. Because if he knew the future, he never would have killed Jesus. The very cross that Satan used to try to destroy the Christ, the Messiah, is now a worldwide symbol for Christians everywhere. Everywhere we look, we see the cross proudly displayed in our churches, out on steeples, on hills, on jewelry, on banners, on Bibles. It's everywhere. God has made a mockery of Satan's plans. I think it's great. The devil tries to use the cross to kill the Savior. The devil kills Jesus on the cross. He becomes a Savior. God takes the cross and makes it probably the most popular piece of jewelry in the world. You got to love it, you know? The cross was transformed from a symbol of shame into a symbol and a message of power and glory. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The power of God. There is power for us at the cross. God wants us to meet Him at the cross, not to harm us, not to bind us up, but to set us free. Because that's where the victory is. The cross is the doorway to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in our lives. The cross is the doorway to eternal life, to victory here on this earth and for all eternity. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned into good. It's through the cross that we can now live our life filled with that resurrection power that God has had destined for us from the beginning of time. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, we could actually say, "Thank you, Satan, for what you have done." I mean, that sounds crazy. But he brought it all together. He thought he was doing some terrible thing to us. And instead, he was just a pawn in God's hands. God used him to fulfill the plan of salvation, to turn the cross into something glorious. You know, there might have been sorrow. On Friday. But on Sunday, we see that Jesus is alive. That Friday must have been awful. For all those that knew and loved Jesus, it had to be terrible. But when Jesus came back, and he was standing in the room with them, when Mary and Martha saw him, when John ran to the grave and saw that he was resurrected, when all the people saw him all around, what a day. What a day to see the reality of the risen Jesus Christ. And we get to experience that resurrection power. The cross has now become our victory, the victory that we get to share with Jesus for all eternity. I love the fact that God took what the devil meant for evil and turned it into good. You know, in our lives, as we've been talking the last few weeks about the schemes and the traps of the enemy and what the devil wants to do, how he would like to hurt us, and how God wants us to be aware of his schemes. And you know what? God wants to do the same thing in every one of our lives. He wants to take everything that the enemy means for evil and turn it to good. He wants us to go to that cross, to bring those things that are trapping us, those things that are holding us down, those things that are impeding our walk with God, the areas that we're having a hard time in, those things that we're struggling with, bring them to the cross and find the victory in Jesus Christ. If I could have the prayer team come forward, we're going to close in prayer. We do have coffee and donuts upstairs today. I want to thank you for coming out here and spending your Easter Sunday morning with us. We're glad to have you. I pray that everyone here has a great day today as we celebrate Easter. You know, and maybe you're going to be going to dinner with your family and talking with some other people, thinking about the day. Bring up the fact of the cross. Bring up the fact of the resurrection. Don't just talk about the ham or the turkey or whatever. Talk about the reason we're celebrating this day. I got to tell you this story real quick. I went out with this guy the other day. I had been at a meeting with him, and he had asked two or three people if they wanted to go get something to eat with him. And I could see he really wanted to go. He didn't ask me because we're not real close, and he considers himself an atheist. And I've mentioned him a couple times before. So I says, hey, Ken, you want to go out and get something to eat? And he goes, yeah. He says, if you don't mind, he says, you want to go grab something? So I said, sure. I said, I got a little bit of time. I had about 45 minutes before I had to be here for prayer, actually. And so we ended up going over to the Triangle. It used to be the Triangle. Now it's now Coney Island, Dick's Coney Island number 2, I think. And so we sit down to pray. And I know he claims to be an atheist. He lets everybody know it. So we got our soup. And I says, I'm going to pray over my food. Do you mind if I pray over our food? And he goes, go ahead. You know, do whatever you want, you know. And So I prayed over the soup, our food there, and he says, you can just have a double blessing on that. And I says, no thanks. I says, there's plenty for both of us. I says, I'll give the blessing back to you. And I says, we'll both share in the blessing, you know. So, you know, it's good to, you know, don't back away from those kind of things, you know, just little things like that. Just, you know, praying, you know. And it's so easy to be timid, to be shy, and I've done it in my life. There's been times I've felt intimidated and, you know, maybe backed off, and then you feel bad after that, you know? And so we need to just not be timid, not be shy, but speak it out, you know, and let people hear you say, you know. So it's something so simple, just to bless the food before you eat. But people recognize that there's somebody over there. We've had, I know our family, when we go out on family day and we'd pray with all the kids, many times we had people come over to our table afterwards and say, I heard you praying for your dinner. It's so nice, you know. And a lot of people appreciate, they like knowing that there are other Christians out there. You know, we encourage others when they hear us. Don't be afraid to speak it out. Let it out. Let it go. All right, so let's close in prayer. Father, we want to thank you, Lord. We thank you so much for the cross that you went to for us. We thank you that after the cross came the resurrection, and that we can share in that resurrection power. We thank you for the victory that you had on that day and that you now share with us every day. We thank you that we can all walk in that resurrection power every single day of our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray your blessing upon each one here today. Lord, as we leave, that wherever we go and whatever we do, that we would be a blessing, that we would reflect the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in all that we do. Lord, I thank you for each one that is here today that took their time to come here and worship with us today. Lord, bless your people here. I thank you for all things. We give you all the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father.